A feast or a banquet is a biblical image to describe our sharing life and love with God forever. And during this liturgy of the word, we heard that proclaimed in the prophecy of Isaiah and the gospel according to St. Matthew. In the prophecy of Isaiah, the people were rejoicing that God had removed the veil that had veiled all peoples. God had destroyed death forever. And they exclaimed, at least the prophet said they will exclaim, on that day it will be said, "Behold our God to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us." The salvation that God offers is an initiative from him. It's an invitation that he extends to his beloved, and he waits for a response. The response of the people in the prophecy of Isaiah was rejoicing, but there was a different response in the parable that our Lord tells in the gospel according to St. Matthew. For Jesus uses imagery from daily life at that time to illustrate what happens between God and his people. In some ways, it affirms what happens. In other ways, it invites people to turn away from what is happening. And that is his point to the chief priests and the elders of the people. As the Lord tells a parable about how the kingdom of God is like a king who invites people to join in the wedding banquet for his son. But the people did not rejoice in the invitation, they refused. And when the king's servant finally were able to gather people to attend the feast, there was one person who was not wearing a wedding garment. He was not ready to join in the celebration and was expelled from the banquet. Apparently, in those days, it was a cultural practice to provide guests with wedding garments. I'm sure that some people here in the church and worshiping by way of Facebook Live are pleased that that is not the custom in the United States in the 21st century. It's enough to figure out what the bridesmaids are going to wear, what the groomsmen are going to wear, let alone think about every guest to the wedding. So when Jesus gave the parable, it was saying that the refusal of that guest to wear the garments given to him was an affront to the host. After we were baptized, we received a baptismal garment. It is an invitation to be prepared to participate in the eternal feast with God. We read in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 9, the following. And that is what this verse is also the basis for the invitation to Holy Communion that you'll hear later on after praying the Lamb of God. The verse from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 9. Then the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who have been called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." Marriage is also a biblical image to describe God's relationship with his beloved people. God provides us with everything that we need to share in the feast of eternal life with him. Once again, we are reminded of the great gifts that God has given to us through holy baptism, which is an ongoing reality in our lives. There's no need to give God excuses. We need to be prompt in cooperating with these gifts of being immersed into God's life, being identified with our Lord Jesus Christ and how he is saving us from sin and death. We die to sin and to the invitation to sin. We rise to glorify God in our thoughts, words, and actions. We also have the great gift of being incorporated into the Church of Christ. Older parishioners were given this baptismal garment as the priest said these words, translated from Latin: "Receive this white garment, which may you carry without stain before the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may have life everlasting." Those who were baptized after 1969, when the new rite was promulgated, received these words as the baptismal garment was given: "You have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven." The Lord Jesus provides us with the washing of his mercy and the witness of his people to help us to be ready to participate in the eternal feast with God. Remaining connected to Christ and to his church is essential to grow as a Catholic Christian. Next to the family, the parish is the key community in the formation of Christian disciples. I'm continuing to preach my homily series about our parish theme for 2020-2021. The theme is connected, growing in Christ together. At this stage of the pandemic, whether we can worship in our parish church on the Lord's Day or not, our parish mission must continue to help all to believe in Christ, to belong to his church, and to bless our communities. Admittedly, the second part of our mission statement has been a challenge these days. That second part states, we strive to fulfill our mission through worship, evangelization, faith formation, stewardship, fellowship, and service. However, cooperating with Christ and one another, we are meeting this challenge. And we will continue to find innovative ways to do so, particularly for those who do not use the internet. I'm sharing with you four concrete actions that we must actively engage as a parish to continue to grow in Christ together. A renewed commitment to prayer is the first action. It is primary, which makes the other actions possible. Fostering communications with and among parishioners is the second step. And I will speak about extending the invitation for others to join us here at Holy Family Parish next Sunday. But our focus today is on the third concrete action, contributing to parish life. Before the pandemic, we had launched the pastoral planning process to ensure a promising future for our parish. And this month, we are resuming this process, which will result in a plan of short-term goals and long-term goals. Before the pandemic, we were going to have 2-year goals and 5-year goals. Now we're going to have what we want to do during the pandemic and after the pandemic. As part of this process, I will be asking you to complete a parish life survey, in which I will ask you to share your hopes and dreams for the present and future of our beloved parish. I'm very grateful to those who have contributed to parish life by helping us to resume public holy mass and devotions. The liturgical ministers help us to worship. Live stream assistants help those who are at home to join us in worship by way of Facebook Live. And the cleaning crews sanitize our church after worship. I'm very grateful to our organizations that contribute to parish life through their activities. But when the pandemic has prevented the usual activities from happening, they are keeping in regular contact to inquire about each member's well-being. I'm also very grateful to those who cannot serve in specific ministries or organizations at this time, but they are contributing to parish life by praying for your pastor, our staff, and our parish. Your prayers are providing many blessings. I have gratitude also to those who are regularly contributing to parish life by giving to the Sunday offertory, despite the financial impact of this pandemic. The Sunday offertory is the main way in which our parish pays for staff salaries and our daily expenses. Compared to fiscal year 2019, we experienced a Sunday offertory shortfall of about $15,000. In fiscal year 2020. But to put it in context, when I announced about a month before fiscal year 2020 ended on June the 30th, that at that time our shortfall was $30,000, you cut that in half about in a month. Regarding the Archdiocesan Annual Appeal for Catholic Ministries, which helps with the work of the Lord in our parish and many Archdiocesan ministries, at the time of the shutdown in mid-March, 34 households pledged a total of an amount that was 23% of our goal of $40,386. Well, even throughout the shutdown and our reopening on June the 21st, we approach mid-October, and now 158 households have pledged an amount that is 95% of our goal. And due to fulfilling your pledges and my pledge, our parish received a much-needed rebate check of over $7,000 recently. In next Sunday's bulletin, I will give you an update on our 5-year capital campaign. This is year 4, I believe. And we are preparing our annual parish report about pastoral year 2019-2020. The pandemic is not the only thing that happened during that year. The parish is a community which forms Christian disciples to undergo a transformation, cooperating with the gifts of faith, hope, and love, so that we can live like Christ. And as we are transformed and sanctified by Christ, we serve as instruments of the Lord's love and mercy to transform and sanctify our communities for good. The parish is also a community where Christian disciples are prepared to join the heavenly feast of eternal life with God. Contributing to parish life by offering the gifts of our time, talent, and treasure, we advance the work of the Lord. We do not want our parish just to survive during this pandemic. We want our parish to thrive to the glory of God, for the good of the church, and for the salvation of souls. With St. Paul, we declare our dependence on God's providence at all times, but particularly these times. Our God will fully supply whatever we need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen.